ministry. So last week we started going through the first portion of Christ as a child being dedicated to temple. We looked at Simeon. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And tonight we're going to look at the back half of that. If you're willing and able, would you stand with me this evening as we, in honor of reading God's word, Luke chapter 2, and we'll begin in verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. Father, again, thank you for the time you've given. Thank you for the opportunity, again, of being in your house tonight. Lord, as we've heard these reports, and Lord, I just pray you just help it to just touch our hearts, Father, for the people, for the missionaries. And Lord, that we don't lose focus of the need that we have to be missionaries right here in our own town. Lord, I pray you just be with us as we look into your word. Again, Father, I just pray that you would meet with us, Lord. I pray for your Holy Spirit's anointing upon this place, upon your message, Father. And I just ask that you would just may it be a blessing to our heart and convict our spirit. Well, thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. We'll touch on, refresh a little bit from last week, just because it connects so well. We talked about the temple just a bit last week, and the temple being the center of Jerusalem. Now, do you remember about how many people were in Jerusalem during this time frame back in Jesus' day? Do you remember about? I'm just seeing if we can get the mind going a little bit. If you don't, that's all right. About 100,000 people. You're like, Pastor, we don't want to get our minds going. Just go. Okay. But the temple, they had about 100,000 people in Jerusalem during this time. The temple was kind of the center. It was the hub of activity, especially around the different feast days and so forth. And we said there was three different purposes in mind with the temple being the center of focus. It was a place where God met his people. We said it was a place where law met grace through sacrifice. And we said the temple was a place of life and worship for the people. And so just kind of laying the groundwork, if you will. And we see here that Mary and Joseph were obeying the law, the Old Testament law, and they were presenting Christ at the temple. Now, Christ had already been circumcised, and he was named the eighth day, as was Jewish custom and Jewish law. And then they waited 40 days. The 40 days was for the purification of Mary before she could come to the temple. And here we see them bringing Jesus to the temple. Do you remember what they offered as part of the offering for the dedication? There's two things. Two turtle doves, and there was another thing too. Do you remember? It was about 5 shekels, right? 5 shekels would have been about $4, $5, $6, depending on inflation and currency of the day. But this was part of that dedication process, that a matter of being obedient. We said that we know that because of the gift that Mary and Joseph were not wealthy, because what was the other alternative or the other item they could give if they could afford it? Do you remember? A lamb. We said even though they couldn't afford a lamb, they brought Jesus, who is the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. And we see that beautiful picture and imagery there. And we looked at Simeon and his life and his dedication. We saw that he was a waiting man. He had waited patiently for the Lord. The Holy Spirit had told him, listen, you're not going to die until you see what? Do you remember the words that the scripture tells us? The consolation of Israel, which is the Messiah. You were right. I like to pick on Paul. Paul's had a long, he just came from Good News Club, so. But the consolation of Israel, or the Messiah. And when Simeon sees Jesus, he instantly knows the Spirit moves within him, and he knows that this is the Messiah, and that his prayers have been answered. God's promise has been fulfilled. We see that he was a prepared man, and he was one that... again, that prophecy was fulfilled and with the coming of the Messiah, and that he had a desire to just wait on the Lord. And once he saw Jesus, what was his words? Do you remember? Or what was his heart? Basically, he said, you know, I'm ready. I'm prepared. I can die now. Just take me, Lord. I'm good, right? And we see there an interesting picture or correlation, if you will, that he had been promised the opportunity to see the Messiah before his death. And he had that need. He had that desire in his heart. And that need is the same that all of us have, that we all need Jesus before our death. Lord willing, long before our death, we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. Look at verse 35 before we get into the second portion with Anna. It says, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." This is directly to Mary, and it's foretelling about the crucifixion. And we know that Mary was there at the crucifixion, no doubt seeing her child die, her oldest son die, that in whom she loved, that this would have been heartbreaking. Her heart was pierced and the painfulness of it. And now we see the proclamation of Anna. And that's what we just read there in verse 36. Now, Anna, do you know what the name Anna means? Does anyone know that? The etymology of it? So it just simply means grace. It means grace. I know some people named Anna, and I don't know if I would describe them as graceful. But that's what the name means. After Simeon had seen Jesus, Anna entered the scene to see the Christ child. Anna was a gifted teacher of the Word of God, and she was a gracious, contented lady. Look back at verse 37. We see something about her. "And she was a widow of about 84 years, who departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers." And listen to those last three words, "night and day." This gives a testament of whom she was, of her love, of her passion for the Lord and for ministry. So she had been married for 7 years, and her husband passed away. We don't know the details. And she has now been in the temple as a servant, as a prophetess, for 44 years. Now, the verse before says that she was of great age. Now, I did some quick math on this. And some of you may not like the answer to it, but she would have been somewhere in her mid-60s, okay? Now, listen, that's Bible, that's not pastor, so don't get mad at me, but somewhere in that vicinity. And she had been a widow, and through happenstance, through whatever situation, we're not told, she came after her husband passed away, and she came to the temple, and she began to teach. She began to serve, and she began to fast with prayers. And I love that it tells us that it was night and day. That tells a lot about her character, doesn't it? That tells a lot about who she was, her dedication to God, her love for the Lord, her love for people, and we'll see that more in just a moment, but that she fasted night and day. That takes dedication, right? Have you ever tried, and you don't have to raise your hands by this, but have you ever tried to just pray for hours on end? Right? Have you ever taken and just fasted and said, "Lord, I'm just going to dedicate this time to you," and you just take time and you just pray? It's hard to pray for hours, or at least it's not an easy thing necessarily, but it's really hard when? At night, right? At night when you're tired, when you're exhausted, but we see that dedication, that love for the Lord, that passion for Christ in Anna, and she serves the Lord in the temple. You see, when we come to the end of our lives, and this is a great picture that we have in Anna, when we come to the end of our lives, all that matters is whether we serve God with the time that he gave us, with the time that he gave us. I've shared bits and pieces of this, but my last boss where I worked with Lowe's, he was a workaholic, all right? And that's putting it mildly. I mean, we're talking 90-plus hours a week this guy would work. And he had three young children, younger than our kids, and he was a little bit younger than me. And I remember when I told him I was quitting and going into ministry, he had some choice words to share. And I remember telling him this. I said, "Listen, no one ever said at the end of their day, 'I wish I would have spent more time at work.'" Right? When they're on their deathbed, no one has ever said, "I wish I'd have spent more time at work, in the office." No. The regret or the desire has always been, "I wish I'd have spent more time with my family, with my wife, my kids. I wish I'd have done more for God." Those are the things. You see, when we serve God at the end of the day, at the end of our life, all we have is what we've done for service to him. That's the only thing that matters. Oftentimes we work, we live our life as if though we're going to take whatever we have with us. Listen, there's only one thing that we take or that matters for eternity, that matters is what have we done for service to him? What have we done to help share the good news of the gospel? What have we done to help bring as many souls along with us as possible? Not that we decide that they come with us, but we desire that they do. We share Jesus Christ with them. We witness to them. We hand out tracts. We invite them to church. We just tell them about Jesus. More importantly, we let them see Jesus in our lives, right? By how we live, by who we are. And Anna was this kind of woman. She was faithful. She was devout. Her husband dies a few years after they're married, and ever since that, she didn't depart from the temple. She was faithful. And here's what I love. She wasn't faithful to the temple. She wasn't faithful to the priest. She wasn't faithful to a person. Rather, she was faithful to her God. And that's just such an important piece that I think oftentimes we miss. Oftentimes we neglect. You see, it's not a matter of being faithful to a building. I thank God for our building. I thank God for what he's allowed us to have here. But that's not it. You see, if we're not faithful to God, the building don't matter. The person, the pastor, doesn't matter. Our responsibility is to be faithful to our Heavenly Father. And she endured to the end of her life, never losing that hope in God, never losing her passion or her zeal for the Lord. And we're going to see that in just a moment. Look at verse 38. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. See, verse 38 tells us that Anna rejoiced and she witnessed after seeing Jesus. Did you catch that in the verse when you read it? I know sometimes the verbiage, we get kind of confounded or just confused, but see, she was telling others that she had seen the salvation of God that God had given to Israel through the Messiah, in the Messiah. Look at the last part. And spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. We talked about three Sundays ago, in our afternoon service when we talked about, you know, the whosoevers. What if John 3:16 wasn't true, right? If you remember that message at all, but we talked about the whosoevers. We talked about the alls, right? That Jesus died for all. That whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall what? Shall be saved. When you see Anna's response, who did she tell? All. Right? It didn't matter what they looked like. It didn't matter their gender. It didn't matter their skin color. It didn't matter their economic background. It didn't matter what they were wearing. It didn't matter how they acted towards her. She told all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. We see there also a second piece, and it's kind of in some ways a subpoint, if you will, but there was a desire in Jerusalem. There were those who were looking for redemption in Jerusalem. There was a remnant who had a passion still looking for the Messiah. She told, again, everyone who came to dedicate their babies about the Lord Jesus. Look in Proverbs chapter 11 real quick. Keep your little marker there in Luke, but turn to Proverbs chapter 11. You see, it's so important that we keep those things at the forefront of our mind and the forefront of our heart, that no matter who comes across our path, we want to share Jesus. We want to tell them about Christ. Why? That might be their only opportunity to hear. That might be their only opportunity to know. Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse 30. It says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is what? Wise." You'll hear a little bit of this Sunday morning, but one of the things I pray for myself and for others almost daily is for wisdom. Christ tells us, God tells us to pray for that. Pray for wisdom. Listen, if you want the foundation for wisdom, it's right there in Proverbs 11. He that winneth souls is wise. A, for the need of that soul, But for those who are winning souls, those who are telling about Christ, God's telling us they get it. They understand what it's about. They understand the reason and why we do what we do. That's the purpose for the Christian life. I've had people ask oftentimes, you know, what's my purpose in life? What's the reason? What does God want me to do? Again, you'll hear some of it Sunday, so I'm not going to go too deep into it. But here's our responsibility. Here's our purpose in the Christian life, to get closer to Christ. How do we get closer to Christ? We live and we have a desire to be like Him. That's what it is to be a Christian, is to be like Christ. The number one thing in order to be like Christ is right there in Proverbs chapter 11, he that winneth souls is wise. If you want wisdom in your life, if you want to be like Christ, if you want to be obedient, if you want to know what God wants for your life, start with winning souls. Start with sharing the gospel. And we see that here in the life of Anna. There's a gentleman named Peter Larson, and he said this, and I thought it was pretty interesting. It says, the life of Jesus is bracketed by two impossibilities, a virgin's womb and an empty tomb. Jesus entered the world through a door marked no entrance, the impossibility of a virgin's womb. And he left through a door marked no exit, where he rose again and then ascended to heaven. Jesus did the impossible throughout his entire life, but the beginning of his life and the very end of his life were absolute impossibilities from a human standpoint. Yet he did. Why? Because he is God. Why? Because he is the Christ. Why? Because he is the consolation of Israel that they were looking for. He is the Messiah. Acts chapter 5, verse 20 says, go, stand and speak in the temple of the people all the words of this life. Again, just challenging us, wanting us, pushing us to just go and tell others about Christ. When it says go and stand in the temple, the reason is because that was the center, right? That was the pinnacle in which everyone flocked to. All the Jewish people, all Jewish men were required to go at least three times a year to the different feasts, minimum. So when it says go stand in the temple, it's literally go and stand in the highways and the byways. Find the busy places, and that's where you go, and that's where you tell people about Jesus. Look back in our text at Luke chapter 2, and we see something here about Mary and Joseph. Look at verse 33. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. See, this is, or Simeon has declared to us that Joseph and Mary marveled at the things they had seen and what God was doing in their lives through their son. When we read these passages, we know what happened. We know what happens in the life of Christ. And we've talked about this before many times, but often we just read through them because we're familiar with it. We know about it, right? But just for a moment, just step back and put yourself in Joseph or Mary's shoes. Put yourself that the angel of the Lord or Gabriel, depending on which one, had come and prophesied about the Christ to come, the virgin birth. And then how Jesus was born in the manger in his life. And now they're there at the temple dedicated, and they're just being obedient. They're just following the law. They're just doing what they're supposed to do because they're honoring God. And here we have, you know, these two prophet and Anna, and they come, and immediately they recognize of who this baby is. At this point, Jesus is a baby, right? 40 days old. I mean, he's a baby. He's not speaking. He's not teaching. He's not preaching at this point. But they knew. Why? Because he's God. Why? Because God was going to do something great and did do something great throughout his entire existence for everybody that had any contact with him, even as a baby. Simeon was ready for death after he had seen Jesus. He believed on Jesus for his salvation. He believed on the Messiah. Our number one responsibility is first and foremost for us is that we need to believe on Jesus Christ for our salvation. Now, let me just back it up with this. Now, salvation is through Christ and Christ alone. But I'll say this, in order to be a Christian, in order to be a Christ follower, we need to live like it. We need to act like it. We need to put it into practice day by day by day. Simeon was patiently waiting to see the salvation of God. He was faithful to God for many years, and he was believing that the Messiah would indeed come. I wonder, where are those who will choose to remain faithful to God, believing on Him no matter what? Liz and I were talking this morning. We were finishing breakfast, and we were just talking about a few dear friends who have gone home to be with the Lord. And I think she had asked the question, it just seems like God's calling so many of His saints home. We've had, I think, four or five pass away in the last month or two. You know, friends that we've known from different areas of life and different walks, and some of them really being the strong, the pinnacles of the faith, you know. And you just look at that. And then we said this, it's just, where are the replacements? Where are the soldiers to take the stand, to fill the shoes? You see, that's us. If we've accepted Christ, that's every one of us. It's not because we need to. It's not because it's a good thing to do. It's because it's what we're called to do. It's who we're called to be. Anna was an elderly lady who gave much of her life to serving the Lord in the temple. But after she saw the gift of salvation God had provided through His Son, she told everyone she saw. I love that about Anna. Didn't matter how old she was. The Bible says of great age. We won't put a year beside it. But in her great age, what was she doing? She was excited. She was invigorated. She told everyone she came in contact with about the Messiah, about Jesus. She was sharing the gospel. The question that I'll leave us with tonight is, will you commit, will I commit to being a witness for the Lord? Will we commit to being a Simeon or an Anna? Will we commit to being truly what a Christian is supposed to be? Will we commit to taking that stand and fervor and faith and saying, God, here am I. What do you want for my life? What do you want for me? I shared this with the Good News Club this afternoon. I did the lesson, and it was on Peter and Rhoda. And we talked about prayer. That was really the emphasis. And God hears and God answers, right? God hears our prayer and He answers our prayer. And we talked about the different ways God answers, right? Sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no, and then sometimes He says what? Wait. Wait. Sometimes we say maybe. It's not maybe, it's wait, you know? And when it's an affirmative, we usually like the yeses, don't we? Right? All right, praise God. That's awesome. And we should. The no's, sometimes they're a little harder to choke down. When they're obvious, when they're clear, we accept them, but sometimes they're just a little painful. But I think sometimes the hardest one is the wait. It's the wait. Why? We're impatient. Why? We want what we want. Why? Well, we have our plan. God, you're not in line with my plan. Well, that's exactly it. We're never called, or He's never called, excuse me, to be in line with our plan, is He? We're called to be in line with His plan. You see, when we line ourselves up with God and make sure that we're following what He wants and we're in that place where He wants us to be, I preached a message a couple years ago about being in the circle, right? If we're in that circle and we're where God wants us to be, then we're doing what He wants us to do. What's He wants us to do? Number one is he who is wise bring the soul to Christ. That's the first thing. If we're not telling people about the gospel, if we're not telling people about the good news, then we're failing as a Christian. Will you commit to be a witness for the Lord the way that God has called us to be? So we'll stop there for this evening, and we'll pick up and finish out chapter 2. Maybe next week. I don't make those promises because I'm not sure.